I want to start this morning with a quiz for the children. Children, I want you to try and figure out what is the odd one out in this series. I must lose weight. I must go to this college. I must get to this meeting. I must get that job. I must have that friend. I must be born again. I must go to church. I must love my siblings more. Which one of these is the odd one out? What doesn't fit in the sequence? I'm guessing you know. Okay, try. That's the one. Well done. Well done. Why? Why is I must be born again the odd one out? Well, it's because all the other musts in that series are common. They're heard hundreds, maybe thousands of times a day around the world. We have many musts in our lives, musts that we repeat over and over and over again. But this must, I must be born again, is a rare must. In fact, you could almost say in our society and even in church culture that it's well nigh extinct. It's so rare. And yet Jesus here, in what was really his first extended interaction with someone in his ministry, focused on this must. You must be born again. You see that in verse 7. Do not marvel, I said to you, you must be born again. So Jesus did not focus on what we must believe, interestingly. Neither did he focus on what a Christian must do, the Christian life. But rather, he focused on how do we get that life that will enable us to believe and enable us to do. That's what Jesus prioritized. That's why this is the first must in Jesus' ministry, why it should be the first must in our lives. Why? Why is this the greatest must? That's really the question we want to ask today. Why must I be born again? Jesus says I must be born again. Why? Why? Why is that so important? Jesus gives us three answers in this passage. And the first one is this: to see God's kingdom. We must be born again to see God's kingdom. And that's really in verses 1 through 3. Climaxing in verse 3. Look at these words. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So I want to look at this from two angles. First of all, physical birth gives physical sight. Then spiritual birth gives spiritual sight. That's really the way Jesus is working here. He's dealing with something very common and commonly understood and accepted. Physical birth gives physical sight in order to teach us by analogy, by comparison, that spiritual birth gives spiritual sight. So Nicodemus here is a very high member of society. Really, he's one of the elite. In fact, he's the elite of the elite. He's described here in verse 1 as a Pharisee. So he's in the religious elite. He's also a ruler of the Jews. That means he was on the Sanhedrin, the equivalent of our Senate. So he's in the political elite. In verse 10, Jesus describes him as the teacher of Israel. In other words, he was the professor of Israel. So he's in the academic elite. He's got a lot going for him, and he knows it, because he comes to Jesus and really begins to tell Jesus how much he knows. Look at his words. Came to Jesus by night, probably embarrassed that other elites might see him consulting this common rabbi, Jesus. "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." He's saying, "Look, I've been observing you. I've been watching you, and here are some of the conclusions I've come to about who you are. I know you're a teacher. I know you come from God, and I know God is with you." So Nicodemus saw a lot with his physical eyes, and that's all you need to come to that kind of conclusion. Lots of people came to that conclusion about Jesus. They watched him, they listened to him, they observed him, they thought about him, and they, with the help of just their reasoning, with what they were seeing and hearing, their senses, came to this true conclusion. Like Nicodemus, you're a teacher, you're from God, and God's with you. Physical birth gives physical sight. So Nicodemus saw a lot with his physical eyes, but there's a lot he didn't see. And that's why Jesus moves him from what he says he saw to what he has not yet seen. He moves him to this: spiritual birth is needed to a spiritual sight. As he puts it here in verse 3, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus, you've seen a lot. Good on you. But you haven't seen the most important thing, which is the kingdom of God. And what is that? What is the kingdom of God? Well, like any kingdom, it's a place where a power is exerted. It's the reign of God. It's God's empire. And this empire, this kingdom, this reign of God begins in the human heart and climaxes in heaven. It begins in the human heart and it climaxes in heaven. Jesus said to those who were asking him about the kingdom one day, he said, "The kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. This isn't something like you can see with normal eyes. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you." That's why you can't see this with physical eyes, because it's something spiritual. It's something in the spirit. So Jesus here is holding out this amazing prospect that human beings like you and me can have a kingdom, not just any old kingdom, but the kingdom of God, God's kingdom, in our hearts, present, God reigning in majesty and power and glory and beauty. And that kingdom continuing to grow and expand in the human heart, and through that, in the church, ultimately, to heaven itself. That's the ultimate place of the kingdom. That's where the kingdom of God is, not just in human hearts, but is in the whole universe. It's expanded into the new heavens and the new earth. And Jesus is saying here, Nicodemus, here's something you want to see. You want to see the kingdom of God in your heart. You want God's power. You want that beautiful, glorious reign of Christ in your heart. And you also want to see heaven. You want to see that majestic, beautiful kingdom in all its climactic glory, don't you? Yes. Well, you can't unless you are born again. Spiritual birth is needed for spiritual sight. You can look and look and look and look with your eyes, but no matter how long you look, you will never see. You will never experience the kingdom of God in your heart or in heaven unless you experience spiritual birth. That's why Jesus introduces this with, truly, truly, I say to you. This isn't, you would say, let's just call this ordinary teaching. This is extraordinary. There are things you don't need to know to be saved. This you must know. Truly, truly, I'm deadly serious here about life. So, if physical birth gives physical sight and spiritual birth gives spiritual sight, how do we take this story of Nicodemus and Jesus and change our stories with it? Well, two things. First, ask for new eyes. Ask for new eyes. You know, maybe you come to church and it's really not that interesting to you. Maybe you see Christians, you see their commitment to living a holy life, a life of service and support of the church and of missions, and you just can't get excited about it. Kind of looks strange, weird. I think, well, don't know what's wrong with them. You don't quite understand it, do you? It's just, I mean, coming to church and religion and Christianity, it's there. An hour or so a week. But it's not like, certainly not a kingdom. It's certainly not taken over your life. You can't say it's an empire, can you? You haven't seen that yet. And really, that's what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you haven't seen anything yet. You've been in religion all your life. You've risen to the top, and you haven't begun to see the glory and the beauty and the majesty of God's kingdom. If only you knew, you would ask for new eyes that comes from new life. So ask yourself, are you in that Nicodemus category? It's just, I mean, you go through the motions and you force yourself and you do the habits and you're dutiful and diligent and religious things, but there's just not any delight. It just doesn't feel like there's life there. You know, we all have a soul. We all have a soul. We're born with a body and a soul. But we're born really with an empty soul. It's a container that has to be filled with spirit to fulfill its purpose. And, you know, we can try and fill it with multiple things, including religion. And it just still doesn't live. But what Jesus is saying here is, when the kingdom comes in, there's life, there's energy, there's enthusiasm, there's excitement. So ask God for new eyes by asking him for new birth. New birth. And if God's given you that, then rejoice in your new eyes. If you've seen the glory, if you've seen the beauty, if you've experienced the beginning of God's kingdom in your heart, rejoice. You know, you see these videos sometimes, don't you, of maybe someone who's been colorblind all their life or really just sees in black and white, and they get these new spectacles that they've designed that shows them color for the first time. And you see them crying with joy. They just never knew it was like this. And you could have described red and yellow and green and blue to them all your life. And they still, well, it doesn't mean anything to me. You put the glasses on, there it is. There it is. This is what Jesus is saying. And if you've seen, then rejoice. God has filled your soul with his spirit. He has given you new life. You have been born again, and you're seeing the kingdom here, and you will see it hereafter as well. You will see the kingdom of glory rather than never, ever see it. Physical eyes cannot see spiritual beauty, but spiritual eyes cannot see enough spiritual beauty. So that sounds great, surely, doesn't it? I can actually see the kingdom. You know, if you were told, maybe this doesn't mean anything to you if you're American, but as an ex-Brit, if I was told you can go visit Buckingham Palace and like wander through the halls and go and see the throne, I'd be like, that's just amazing. I'm not just seeing it like in pictures or from a distance or from the doorway, but I'm actually allowed to enter the palace and walk around. Can that happen spiritually? Can I not just see, but enter? That's what Jesus says. Secondly here, when we are born again, we enter God's kingdom. Indeed, we cannot enter the kingdom without being born again. Look at verse 4. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. So again, Jesus is looking at this from two angles. He's saying, physical birth requires a physical womb, and spiritual birth requires a spiritual womb. So let's again look at what happens here. First of all, physical birth requires a physical womb. Jesus has been talking about new birth, and Nicodemus doesn't see it. He can't see it. And so he comes up with this, how can a man be born when he's old? Like, here I am, maybe I'm 70 years old. How can I, like, shrink myself and find my mother and somehow or other get into her womb and be born again? How can that be? He gets it. Jesus talking about birth. Birth requires a womb. Therefore, I need a womb. Therefore, I need my mother's womb if I'm ever going to be born again. He sees it. Physical birth requires a physical womb. Jesus answered. This is where he moves it. Spiritual birth requires a spiritual womb, Nicodemus. Again, he introduces it with truly, truly. You see, that would suggest that Nicodemus was rather skeptical here, mocking even, smirking. Because this is a way in Jewish teaching that really underlines seriousness, truly, truly. It might be like, you know, your mother says to you, look at me when I'm talking to you. That's what Jesus is basically doing. He's saying, look at me, Nicodemus. Make no mistake about this. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He's saying, Nicodemus, you need another womb. This phrase, it's difficult really to fully understand, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, but it's most likely water is speaking of that physical birth and all the fluids associated with it. Nicodemus, yes, you need to be born, right? You need a physical birth, but you need more. Water and the Spirit. It's speaking here of, Nicodemus, you need to get into a spiritual womb. You need the womb of the Holy Spirit if you are ever to have spirit life. Only the Holy Spirit can produce spirit life. Nicodemus, this is the womb. This is the womb you should be focused on, not your mother's, but the womb of the Holy Spirit. If you want to enter a new world, if you want new sight, new thoughts, new heart, new life, you need a new womb. Our first birth brings us into this world. Our second birth brings us into another. So physical birth requires a physical womb. Spiritual birth requires a spiritual womb. And again we ask, how do we change our stories with this? And here's the first answer. Ask for a new womb for a new world. Ask for it. You want this kingdom to enter into you? You want to enter into the kingdom? You want to enter into heaven? You need a spiritual womb. You can't enter the kingdom of God without it. And Jesus here is acting, as it were, as a midwife to Nicodemus. He's standing here basically saying, you need birth, and I can give you it. You need spiritual life. I can bring you to life. I can be the one that brings you from death to life, from darkness to light, from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. I'm here with all my skill and experience in birthing so many spiritual lives. I can do this. I've never lost one, and I won't. He's just begging to be asked, Jesus, be my midwife. And if you've known that, and, you know, it's like some births, for some mothers, maybe rare, but it happens. It's just so easy, isn't it? Others, it's like 24 hours, 48 hours. And, you know, the consequences can last for many weeks and months. So it is with this birth. For some people, that birth is just, it's very quick. It's very sudden. They hear one sermon, they're born again. Other people, it takes a lot longer. For one reason or another, midwife's in control, it just takes longer. But however that life came, however you experienced that womb, rejoice that you've experienced it. The mother who has the baby quickly rejoices. The mother who has the baby after many hours of labor eventually rejoices. It doesn't matter. They all rejoice eventually. The main thing is, I have a baby. I have a new life. And so it is with spiritual life. I've got a new life. It's so precious. To paraphrase the angel's words to Mary, the Holy Spirit has overshadowed you, and the power of the Most High has come upon you. And therefore, what is born in you shall be called holy, the kingdom of God. Enter the kingdom here to enter the kingdom hereafter. You can't get to the kingdom hereafter unless you enter the kingdom here. We need new birth to enter the kingdom. But there's more. We don't just see the kingdom. We don't just enter it. We actually live in it. It's not like you visit the palace and then you're thrown out at 5 o'clock when the doors close. But this is a kingdom you get to live in, on and on and on. If you look, for example, at verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Physical birth gives physical life. Spiritual birth gives spiritual life. That's what Jesus is summing up here. Physical birth gives physical life. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Our parents are needed. Flesh is needed for our flesh to exist. Bodies produce bodies. Flesh produces flesh. Humans produce humans. Pretty basic, pretty simple. But Jesus is telling us, so is the next truth. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You can't get spirit from flesh. You can't get spirit from your parents. You can't get spirit from a church. You can't get spirit from baptism. You can't get spirit from confession of faith. You can't get spirit from human effort. You can't get spirit from human knowledge. You can only get spirit from spirit. Capital S. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Spiritual life can only come from spiritual life. There's only one source of that. Just as Jesus describes in Genesis, the Holy Spirit breathing into Adam and Eve and they come to physical life, so we need the Holy Spirit to breathe into our lives to give us spiritual life. I'm behind my pictures. Point two. Point three. Getting too involved in the sermon here. Spiritual birth gives spiritual life. So, again, let's ask, how do we take this home? How do we apply this to ourselves? Well, again, we think of these words of Jesus, "Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again." That's the first application, the first way we change our stories. Don't be surprised at this. Nicodemus was clearly surprised, wasn't he? That's why Jesus would say this. He's watching Nicodemus's reaction as he's telling him this, and he can see skepticism and doubt. This is not what he's heard all his life. This is a new message. This is innovative, he would say. It's not actually. It's all through the Old Testament as well. But in this corruption of the Old Testament, it come to be that if you're born in a certain family and you went through certain religious rituals, you were good to go. And Jesus here comes and puts it all away. And he says, whatever, Nicodemus, you've heard before, hear this. And don't be surprised at it. You should know this. If you knew the human heart and you knew the Bible, you wouldn't be standing there with your eyes popping and your mouth gaping. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised that I say to you, you must be born again. Don't be surprised that this is the biggest must in the world. The biggest must in the world. And people are still surprised, aren't they? And sometimes people might feel even upset that their religion, what they had previously been taught or thought, is here by Jesus put aside. And Jesus comes and says, you haven't begun to live. But why? Ask yourself why Jesus says that. He doesn't say it to hurt you. He doesn't say it to offend you. He doesn't say it to put you down. He says it because he wants to give you life. He wants you to have what you don't have and can't have in your own efforts. He wants you to know the glory and beauty and power and majesty of his kingdom in your heart and in heaven forever. And so he stands beside Nicodemus as he stands beside you and he says, I'm ready. I'm willing. I'm excited about the possibilities here of this new life, this powerful new life coming into your own. And he uses this image. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. He's saying, I'm here, I'm the wind, I'm the life, and I'm ready to blow. I'm ready, I'm willing. And again, he uses such a common everyday illustration. Why? So that in common everyday life, we often think about this. Every time the wind hits our faces, we should say, I must be born again. This is God reminding me, I need this in my soul. And if we have been born again, that we would, every time the wind hits our face, rejoice and celebrate. This has happened in my heart. God hasn't just blown the wind on my face. He's blown into my soul, and he's brought his kingdom within me. Let it blow even more. Let it grow even more. Let the kingdom come, and his will be done in my life as it is in heaven. And if that's happening, if this kingdom's here and it's beginning to grow and expand, and I'm seeing more and more day by day its beauty and glory and feeling its power, that means I'll also enter heavenly glory, the heavenly kingdom. And therefore, when I feel the wind in my face, I should celebrate. Thank you, Lord. You have blown into my life. Maybe some of you it was a breeze, barely noticeable. Maybe for some of you it was like a tornado, turned your whole life upside down. But he blew. He blew life. And we celebrate. We rejoice. And some of us, you know, we sometimes look at our battles with sin and our temptations that we fall into, and we sometimes think, I've got to double down, try harder. When actually what you may need is wind, the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've never known that, but Jesus is here to be your midwife, to bring you into a new life of power and conquering and defeating sin, and growing, flourishing, and thriving in grace. Most don't see this must, but this must is for all. It's for everyone. In the church and outside the church. You must be born again. And so we conclude with this. Be born again. Why? To see, enter, and live in God's kingdom now and forever. Amen.